This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. We're exploring the space between ideas, science, and what people believe on this show. So let me ask you this. Do you think a special beverage could make your brain more powerful, especially when that beverage has been developed by neuroscientists? I thought this was a good question to run by our regular Pulse contributor, SciCurious, Bethany Brookshire. She's a science educator, a writer for Science News, and she investigates and debunks a lot of questionable science. Bethany, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So I keep seeing this ad for a new drink. It's called True Brain, and it promises me increased focus and brain power upon consumption. And there are a lot of scientists who were involved in developing this drink. So does that mean it's really true?
Not necessarily, no.
How come?
It really does depend. I mean, there's a lot of research going on right now into what exactly cognitive enhancement is, what cognition is. You know, what does it mean to have something that makes you smarter? How? What does it mean to be smarter? Does it mean you have more focus? Does it mean you have more alertness? Does it mean that you remember more? You know, what does it mean? And is there a drug that you can drink that will give you any or all of these things?
Do we know of any substances that make us, you know, smarter or help us remember more?
I would say the by far best chemical in the world for making your brain work better is glucose.
Sugar.
Yep. Well, glucose specifically. Glucose is the main monosaccharide or simple sugar molecule that the brain uses for fuel. And so, you know, if you don't get enough sugar, if your blood sugar levels get really low, you can pass out, all sorts of negative consequences, death, bad side effects. Glucose is great for thinking, focus, memory, consciousness, all the good stuff.
But in terms of creating a beverage that would really impact our brain, it doesn't seem like we're quite there yet in terms of the science.
Well, it kind of depends on what impact you're looking for. You know, there are drugs, for example, such as Adderall and Ritalin, which are used for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, that increase focus and attention. There are drugs like caffeine that helps to block these receptors in your brain that results in you being more alert. Those are certainly drugs that can increase certain aspects of your brain function. Does that make you smarter? That's tough to say. Many of the studies haven't really been conclusive.
Let me ask you about scientists who get involved in this kind of product development. Are they bad apples if the claims are perhaps overstated?
I wouldn't go that far. I think the most important thing to remember is scientists are people. There are people just like you and me, and while they might be incredibly well-educated and do a lot of brilliant research in some areas, they can also believe things that aren't true. You know, they have drives to believe things and want things to happen just as much as anybody else, you know? And so, yeah, scientists can get behind things that turn out not to be true, but, you know, so can regular people.
So what should I do if I'm looking at a product and it has a lot of scientists behind it? How do I know what I'm buying? Is there a way to check into it?
Well, you can certainly look up what kind of ingredients are in the product. You can look them up individually. What are they? What kind of science is behind them? Is there science showing the effects that are claimed on the website, for example? Is there more than one paper? Is the paper, the scientific paper, published in a peer-reviewed journal? Are the scientists on the website working in that area? Is that what they study?
Now, how do scientists, generally speaking, decide what they will investigate and what they won't touch? You know, for example, the healing powers of crystals. Would any regular established scientists touch that, or why not?
I mean, I can think of several reasons for, you know, for example, many scientists receive funding from the government to do their research from the National Institutes of Health and the National Science Foundation. Do taxpayers want to pay for studies on crystals? Probably not. But also, you know, the scientists have to put together proposals to get scientific funding from the government or from other organizations. And those proposals are based in previous research that the scientist has done, that other scientists have done on the topic, things that show that the experiments planned will have a likelihood of success. And scientific research with crystals, I mean, it's not really based on any kind of science that has backing.
So that all makes sense, but do you think sometimes this framework could extinguish ideas before they really can catch fire? And maybe we're overlooking things because they don't seem to fit into this framework that has been created.
That could be the case. In general, though, you know, if you can design a really good experiment based on solid parameters and carry it out, you know, you're doing good science. If you can design a really good methodology to get it done, that drastically increases your odds of getting funded to do the work. Also, it should be noted the National Institutes of Health has a section called abbreviated NCAM, and it's for complementary and alternative medicine. And they actually fund studies that investigate alternative medicines, you know, things that a lot of people are skeptical about, to try and see if any of them work. And most of them don't, but some of them do.
Bethany, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's regular Pulse contributor Bethany Brookshire of Science News. She writes for the educational blog Eureka Lab.